Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
The city of Buffalo is condemning the building that houses the Hostel Buffalo Niagara on Main Street. Officials moved Wednesday to remove the hostel and its guests when the electricity was turned off and the locks were changed. The building's owner, the Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency, had planned on removing the hostel on the 15th to allow for building renovations. Attorney Lawrence Rubin criticized the renewal agency, calling it a bad landlord. City officials did not respond to a request for comment. An 82-year-old pilot is recovering from injuries suffered after his single-engine plane crashed at the Clarence Aerodrome. State police say the plane tipped over during takeoff after its front tire was caught in the mud. An investigation is underway into a Wednesday afternoon fire in Gettysville that caused an estimated $800,000 in damage. The Buffalo News reports the intensity of the blaze prompted a call for a second alarm. The Gettysville Fire Company was first to respond to the Forest View Drive scene and were later assisted by departments from Snyder, Williamsville, Clarence Center, East Amherst, Eggertsville, Swarmville, and Maine Transit. And former Village of Lancaster Mayor William Schroeder will return to the Village Board following a lengthy vote recount. Erie County Board of Elections officials say Wednesday's physical recount showed Schroeder with 374 votes, 12 more than his opponent David Santoro. The candidates had originally tied in a special election with 248 votes each, while another 32 write-in votes went to another candidate. No write-in votes were allowed in the runoff election. The Seneca Nation will be converting a vacant church in Riverside into a community center for Nation citizens. Seneca Nation President Ricky Armstrong Sr. said in a statement that the Nation was in the process of acquiring the former Nazarene Lutheran Church with the help of nearly a $1.6 million grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The Nation says the building will house its Buffalo Creek Community Center. And the city of Dunkirk will be getting $1.8 million from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to combat lead exposure. The funding will allow Dunkirk to enhance its programs for identifying and mitigating lead-based paint hazards. Congressman Nick Langworthy announced the funding on Wednesday and said the funding would, quote, protect the health of future generations.
This live stream of WBFO is made possible by Canisius University. At Canisius University, Griffs know there is no progress without action. Moved by compassion and courage, they look at the world and say, we can do better, and then do it. Canisius University, where leaders are made.
Well, the future of the Hostel Buffalo Niagara is uncertain after city officials condemned the building that houses the hostel on Wednesday, effectively forcing it to shut down. WBFO's Grant Ashley was there and has more on what happened.
Hostel employees thought they had until April 15th to move out of the building for scheduled renovations. But Buffalo city officials had other plans. By Wednesday afternoon, they had cut power to the building, changed the locks, and posted condemnation notices on the hostel's front door.
Apparently what's happened is that the city of Buffalo has cited the Buffalo Renewal Agency as being a bad property owner. They've condemned the Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency's building after years and years and years of neglect. And this came as quite a shock.
That's Lawrence Rubin. He's a lawyer for the hostel. The Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency, commonly known as BURA, is the city's urban development agency. They own the hostel's building.
And all of a sudden, inspectors, fire marshals, National Grid, everybody swooped in this morning and determined that Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency has a building in violation of city code, and it's so bad they condemned the entire building.
The city cited the building for electrical hazards, structural hazards, and a disabled fire alarm system. In November, BURA voted unanimously to approve renovations to 664 Washington Street, the building that adjoins the back of the hostel. They also committed $2 million to the project. Those renovations were set to begin May 20th, but Rubin says BURA should have done more sooner.
That was entirely the Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency's responsibility, and they failed to take care of it.
The condemnation displaced 8 hotel guests and J.P. Perrette, the live-in manager of the hostel. Rubin said that BURA is paying for all 9 to stay in a hotel for a couple days. Several community members came to the hospital Wednesday afternoon to help staff move. Stephen Cazara was one of them.
It's where most of my friends work or congregate. I love this space.
Cazara used to come to the hostel to see art shows and hang out with friends, but now he's worried it won't ever reopen. He blames city officials like Mayor Byron Brown for prioritizing large developers and profits over the hostel and the wider community.
They don't care about small development. This is small in their eyes, and it doesn't deserve to be in this space. And for Buffalo to claim that they're an artistic city and to take this spot off of Main Street is it's a huge slap in the face to everybody, not just me.
It's unclear whether the hostel will ever be able to move back into its downtown location, but Ruben says it'll do what it can to keep going.
I believe that the hostel board is committed to doing everything within their limited resources to be able to continue their mission and to continue to help the city of Buffalo's tourism industry.
A spokesperson for the city of Buffalo didn't respond to a request for comment. Grant Ashley, WBFO News.
And we're here on Allen Street in Buffalo at WWTS Photography and Gallery. The proprietor is T.O. David. Hi, T.O.
Hello. How you doing today?
What about photography for you? How did that interest, where did that start?
So photography for me started with my dad. My dad is...
T.O. David says he loves telling stories through photography, and he wants to help others to do the same at his Allen Street Gallery. He calls himself a street photographer who looks to document history. T.O. David did just that when Black Lives Matter protesters took to the streets of Buffalo. His effort produced some amazing images, a protester holding up a sign to end white silence. In another, he captured a Buffalo police officer joining with protesters to pray at Niagara Square.
You know, it was a very interesting experience because as a student of history, I've seen the Civil Rights Movement photos. I studied them. I reviewed them. And it was always one of those things like the fight is not quite over, but there's documentation of it. So when it came around, I felt as a photographer and also as a student of history, it was important to document it. It was important to show people there's more work to be done and making sure that the right image conveyed the right message, that work still needs to be done. And you know what? And we have a bigger platform now. And we have to be very careful how we present our work in these platforms. I just wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of making sure that this is documented correctly from my perspective. And I photograph about almost 98% of the protests. The very, very first protest before the George Floyd protest here in Buffalo was Gridlock Buffalo protest. Mm. And a lot of people don't know that. And when people find out that I photographed that, they go, why? I said, because we got to tell every part of the story. We cannot tell one part of the story but not tell the other. I said, that's my responsibility as a photographer to tell the entire story, a well-rounded story. And the viewer or the reader, whoever is looking at the work, then they can make a proper assessment and see what they can do, how are they inspired to do better. So that's my thought process on that.
Speaking of stories, we can talk about one that's considerably more recent. That's the eclipse. You went over to Riverside Park.
Yes.
And obviously, like everybody else, you saw lots of clouds. But your interest wasn't necessarily, from a photography standpoint, not necessarily as much on what was happening in the sky, but what was happening on the ground.
That is correct. So I decided to take a different approach. I wanted to show what people were doing, how this eclipse just brought humanity together, you know. And it was interesting because there were people talking, there were people praying during this totality moment, you know. So, you know, and I'm just taking pictures, you know, young, old. And a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to this woman. She was mentioning to me her grandmother, who was born in 1923. So she didn't see the eclipse 100 years ago. But she had the opportunity to see this one. Mm. And I was like, wow, you know, what an interesting experience. So I wanted to document people. I wanted to show what people look like, what they were doing, what the technology looked like. Because that's what intrigues me when I see street photography photos from before my time. What were people wearing? What were they doing? You know, I tell every photographer, it's so important that you be a historian. You know, where our work will land, we don't know. Look at, you know, photographers like Vivian Meyer. Her work is, you know, there debates how good her work is, but she documented her time frame. We get to see something that she saw and how she viewed it, how she interpreted it, and it's up for interpretation for us. So that's kind of how I kind of see myself, like, we'll see what these works look 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. Hopefully, the goal is to properly preserve it, you know, and hopefully it's good enough to be archived somewhere.
How do you know, as a photographer, how do you know that this shot's worth taking, that this is this could be a great piece of work?
So as a gallerist, I tell people, just watch people's reactions to your work. What are they going to say? What is the critique good? Is it bad? Critiques aren't bad. It tells you everything you need to know. You know, are there? So last year I did a Black Lives Matter show. I took a risk. I felt like it was too soon to do because it just wasn't enough time. But when people walked in the gallery and saw the photos, there were so many emotions. Some people were sad. Some people like, I was there. And the consensus was, we still got more work to do.
Born in the Bronx, T.O. David was schooled in his parents' Honduran culture, and he speaks Spanish fluently, which has helped him connect with the local Latino community. As a small business, he's ready to offer a wide variety of services, but his gallery's mission is to give a platform to more artists.
I live by a saying that my mother told me years ago, if you have a skill set or you know something, don't hesitate to share it with people. Give people the opportunity to be great. Let's figure out what we can do to make the work better, or figure out how can we get the work in here and present. Because a lot of people we live in a cell phone society.
Right.
So we could take 1,000 pictures in under a few seconds, but can you tell a story out of those 1,000 pictures? You know, you may have 1,000 paintings, but what story are you going to tell? So the motto of everything is, what is your story? What are you going to give back to society? What is important? What is the objective? So that is the legacy for WWTS Photography and Gallery.
And T.O. David, thanks for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.